You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
New Year's resolutions are notorious for being broken, but if your resolution is just six words long, do you think that you'd be more likely to keep it or at least remember it? As this year draws to a close, The Leonard Lopate Show has teamed up with Smith Magazine to challenge our listeners and readers to sum up their plans, hopes, dreams, and motivations for 2010 and the mistakes that they hope not to repeat in just six words. And joining me now are the judges of the contest, Larry Smith, editor-in-chief of Smith Magazine, and Rachel Fershizer, the magazine's memoir editor. They were last on our show in February to talk about the winners of a six-word memoir contest that we held. Their new book, It All Changed in an Instant, More Six-Word Memoirs from Writers Famous and Obscure, is published by Harper. It's coming out in January, just how many days from now? Three or four days. It will be sent to the winners of this contest. And later we'll be speaking with some of the six-word resolution winners. And if we have time, we'll also take some of your calls. Welcome back, Rachel and Larry.
Thank you.
So glad to be here.
On Smith's website, you have six-word memoirs by teens, six-word memoirs, six words for America, more six-word projects. Where did the idea of the six-word storytelling come from in the first place?
Well, in the very beginning, it came from the Ernest Hemingway legend. Supposedly, he was challenged in a bar bet to tell a novel or a whole story in just six words. And he said, "For sale, baby shoes, never worn." And it's
brilliant, by the way.
Yeah, that guy could write. And we're a personal storytelling site, so we wanted to give it a personal twist.
But I'm assuming that you thought this would be a little fun thing. You had no idea that it was going to take off the way it has.
Well, Leonard, I'm wearing my six-word memoir T-shirt, which is "Through Spaghetti at Wall, Some Stuck." It was one of the many storytelling projects we stuck up on Smith. And, yeah, we didn't know if it would go for a couple of days, but it really took off.
Is six the ideal word count? Would five be too limiting, do you think?
Rachel is the resident wordsmith.
Seven be okay?
Yes, but I think the six originally comes from the classic idea, but the numbers just, it has a magic to it. It gives you all these options, whether to do three and three or two, two and two, or one at a time, or flow a whole sentence through it. I think it's just got a mathematics to it.
Nine out of the 11 resolutions you chose were written by women. Is that a reflection of the overall gender ratio in submissions?
It is, actually. The site is more female than male. I'm not sure why that
90%.
Is. Not 90%. But we're a site more about personal expression and community, and we're a site really for readers, and I think women tend to read and write more. But the site is open to anyone.
And do you think women are more likely than men to make New Year's resolutions?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I think that so many of them are, it's a horrible cliche, I guess, but about these basic kinds of self-improvement. I want to lose weight. I want to look better. I want to control my emotions to some extent. We've got a lot about getting over him or stopping looking at his Facebook page.
And, of course, there's one from a man I remember, which was, "Go to Vegas at least twice."
Which you cannot imagine a woman sending in, even if she wants to go to Las Vegas.
I hope she goes at least twice.
Do certain themes predominate?
There's a lot about technology this year. There's a lot about exes and moving on, a lot about economics, more so this year than ever before.
I noticed a lot of positive thinking. Two of our favorites that aren't among the winners are both about the theme of saying yes. One is by Quinn Brown, "This year I'm only saying yes." Another one is by Mary Elizabeth Williams, "Let the yeses outnumber the noes."
Now, only saying yes can get you in a lot of trouble. But do you think that the resolutions were more optimistic than the memoirs that you generally receive?
Yeah, I think to some extent they were, because it's a different feeling to look back and say things have been hard than to look forward and say I want things to be hard. So I think that actually that's a really beautiful pairing, to have a memoir of a hard time and then a resolution to have a better year.
Since this has become a national thing, we got submissions from all over the world. Do we see differences? New Yorkers are known for their sarcasm. Was that reflected in their submissions?
we've got some sarcasm.
From everywhere?
Australia had, for some reason, a pretty nice bunch of submissions, and there was a lot of fun coming out of Australia. Start reading the, quote, terms and conditions. That could mean anything. Mm-hmm. Could literally mean, you know, those terms and conditions we all ignore, but it could mean a bigger statement about life.
That is interesting. I didn't realize that they had terms and conditions in Australia. I thought that was only an American thing.
There are terms and conditions everywhere.
Should we talk to some of the winners?
Sure.
Okay, our first winner believes that as few as three words can have a big impact. Carrie, welcome to our show.
Thank you very much.
Would you tell us your six-word resolution?
My six-word resolution was actually to say to people, genuinely ask, how are you?
Genuinely ask others, how are you? Those
right.
Six words. Well, does that mean that you've asked people in the past, how are you, when you didn't really mean it?
I think so. I think a lot of people tend to sort of default to that as an extension of hello. So we say, hi, how are you? It's that continuous sort of greeting that we have with someone. And interestingly enough, I was thinking about my grandmother, who I used to ask her, how are you? But I had no other agenda with her, and she would say things like, I'm terrible, or I can't believe I'm still here, or I'm glad you finally called. And while it seemed brash, and it probably was to others, it was so unfiltered and very candid that I really liked that in a way. And her responses were very real, so maybe there's something to it.
Yeah, well,
about being authentic.
Well, part the alternative would have been answering honestly when people ask, how are you? Because we do expect the person to answer, I'm good, or something like that. And we can even, usually when in the workplace, it can even be annoying, Larry, can it, if the person tells us how they really are?
I've got a friend in San Francisco who, when you ask him how he is, he usually just says, worse.
Yeah, but that's his running joke.
That's true, but it's interesting about, you know, it carries six words, but it's, you know, each word counts, you know, and the way even you say, how are you, those three words, the way she presents those to people, she can say the same statement year to year, but if it changes the intonation, it makes a difference what she's saying.
Well, Carrie, it would suggest that you're going to be getting longer answers. Or if you really do seem sincere, assuming you have a busy schedule, how will you find the time to genuinely ask people, how are you?
Well, I think I'll be very mindful about it. So I will genuinely ask people, how are you, if I mean to find out how they are. If not, I'll just say, hi, I hope you're well, or something to that effect.
Well, Rachel, we tend to think of the quintessential New Year's resolution being centered on the self, such as I resolve to lose 10 pounds or I'll quit smoking this year. Were there many resolutions like Carrie's that speak to improving how someone plans to treat other people?
Yeah, there were. And I wonder if it's got a little bit to do with how kind of scary the world is right now. I think that there's been a lot of indication that people are trying to reach out to others more, to form communities more, to think about things besides money and how fleeting all that can be. So I think that connection is really significant for people, especially right now.
Thank you so much for talking with us, Carrie. And as I said earlier, you'll be getting a copy of the new book, It All Changed in an Instant, More Six-Word Memoirs from Writers Famous and Obscure, which is published by Harper's.
Thank you so much, Leonard.
And I was wondering about the continued influence of technology on our lives that we saw in 2009, the growing popularity of Twitter, more and more people using internet phones to the extent that many of us are almost never unreachable and at the same time always surrounded by distractions. It's sure led to annoyances in the theater, in movies and in theater, where people are in the middle of a show or a movie. They're on their BlackBerries, they're on their iPhones, and the lights can be really distracting.
Well, to read the memoirs on Smith, you do see kind of current events and the vibe of the country reflected to some extent. So to read the memoirs, everyone's getting off Facebook, everyone's, you know, calming down on the BlackBerry. I think we're at a moment at the end of 2009 that people are they've had it a little bit with technology.
Which may be the case with our next winner, Nancy. You had two resolutions for the online age. You want to tell us them?
Sure. The first one was, I'll stop clicking on sensational headlines.
Uh-huh.
And the second? Anti-gawker resolutions.
And the second?
Get my inbox under 13,000 messages.
A noble goal.
Why 13,000?
that is just where I noticed it was when the search function stopped working. And then I realized I had a problem because I couldn't deal with it, especially without the search function working.
And what was some of the headlines from 2009 that you wish you hadn't clicked on?
I tried really hard to avoid all the Tiger Woods stories, and I went about 2 days without clicking, but then I clicked.
Well, do you think, I'm throwing this out to both of you, Larry and Rachel, do you think that people are resolving more to simplify their lives, decrease their dependence on technology? Is it even possible?
Well, you have to work at it quite a bit. I mean, Nancy's 2 6-word resolutions, the first one, stopping clicking, it's sort of akin to I will, you know, not eat cotton candy or eat, you know, fewer sugary foods. And it's, you know, manageable. But 13,000 emails in the inbox, that's, you need a program for that.
Well, what are you going to do with all the time that you save, Nancy?
I could listen to NPR. I could read a book. I could talk to real people.
Listen more to public radio. That's five. Oh, well.
Thank you so much. Donate more money to public radio.
Thank you so much for speaking with us. Our next winner, Arnold, is in Atlanta, and he has a pretty ambitious resolution. Hi, Arnold.
Hi, Leonard.
Now, you live outside the New York City listening area. How did you find out about the contest?
Well, I'm on SmithMeg website all the time, and I think they announced it there.
It's nice to meet Arnold, because we have all these members who are very active on the site, and we don't talk to them, and we see these emails coming in, so hello.
Hi there. Glad to meet you.
And what was your resolution?
My resolution is to outlive the age of anxiety.
Now, are you talking about the age of anxiety as some kind of abstract concept, the one that we're living in, or is this a personal age of anxiety?
Well, it's interesting. I think it applies both ways, because I imagine every generation thinks they live in the age of anxiety, and certainly the 2000s, especially after 9/11, have been an age of terrorist anxiety, and now it's the economy that's causing all kinds of stress. But for individuals, I think every stage in life brings a new set of anxieties.
Well, I'd be afraid to fly to Detroit.
We were meeting before and just talking about the memoirs, and Rachel and I were just talking about your 6-word resolution to outlive the age of anxiety. For, you know, we couldn't stop talking about it. What did it mean? Was it his own specific anxiety or all this end of the decade sort of mess that people were writing about?
I think it's both, because certainly I'm anxious over both of them.
Is there something you can do to help bring the age of anxiety to a close?
No, I think every stage in life you brings more anxieties. I just hope I get through the next decade okay.
Well, we got 300 or so submissions, and you got a lot more at the magazine. Were many of them involved with this kind of anxiety? People worried, resolving to find a job or to change careers?
It was some of that, but this, I think a lot of the same rules applied. Not to veer into the self-help world here, but, you know, to get rid of some of the bad, a lot of people were resolving to read Proust every day, to write more. And to some extent, to get rid of bad old habits, you want to resolve to create in new habits. I really felt it was a lot more positive than negative. And as Rachel had said, a lot of the memoirs on Smith are kind of intense and a little depressing. But in this case, they were very optimistic.
There was some of both. I mean, one of our recent memoirs right around the holidays was Here's How I Spell Christmas, B-R-O-K-E. So there is definitely a sense of economic concern, get out of debt finally, but all sort of, not all, largely positive steps towards those anxieties going away.
Are you going to be reading all of Remembrance of Things Past, Arnold?
I've tried it, and maybe I'll get through it this decade.
Well, there, Remembrance of Things Past. I'll read. Hey, that's one, right?
It works.
Thank you so much for speaking with us, Arnold.
Oh, it's fun.
And we will be continuing this conversation with the two people from Smith Magazine, Larry Smith, editor-in-chief of Smith, and Rachel Ferschleiser, the magazine's memoir editor. Their new book is called It All Changed in an Instant, More 6-Word Memoirs from Writers Famous and Obscure, which is published by Harper's. It is going out to all the winners of our contest, and we will continue with the winners and find out a bit more about the book after we take a little break. Stay with us. We're back with two people from Smith Magazine, Larry Smith, editor-in-chief of the magazine, Rachel Fershlizer, the magazine's memoir editor, and they have a new book called It All Changed in an Instant, More Six-Word Memoirs from Writers Famous and Obscure, which is published by Harper, and which we will be sending to the winners of our contest. We had 11 winners. We will be speaking to 9 of them. We could not contact 2. To alert them to the fact that we wanted to do this. But I was wondering a bit about the book. You say it's writers famous and obscure. Don't tell me about the obscure ones. I won't know who they are anyway. But what about the famous ones?
The famous ones are fun. One of a memoir we got from Frank McCourt, who we chased down celebrities.
The late Frank McCourt.
And I got this wonderful email from him a few months before he died. I'd been trying to get him any which way. And finally, an email came through on a Sunday morning, subject line, Deep Six. He's like, Larry, here is my six-word memoir. The miserable childhood led to royalties. And to get that kind of email from a writer you love so much and to have him in this book, and then you have all these other writers who have never been published anywhere, maybe never left a comment on WNYC or a blog post, and now they're with people like Frank McCourt and Sarah Silverman and Amy Tan and Malcolm Gladwell. So that's part of what we like to do to mash that up.
Well, we are speaking to winners of our contest, and our next caller's resolutions were inspired by the Obamas. Hi, Sarah. What's your resolution?
Hello. Thanks for having me. My resolution was think like Barack, do like Michelle.
How did you come up with that, Sarah?
Well, I think I should probably note that I did not know much about the first family before the inauguration, like so many Americans. And so I'm still getting to know this couple as they assume their current leadership. And you know, there are many examples of couples that advocate together, giving up important work. I don't think that they're the only ones. What comes to mind to me are the Clintons. I heard President Clinton give a speech in October at Radio City saying, shared responsibility, shared benefits. And I think that he and his wife are doing a great example of that, giving up traditional security and non-traditional security. But, you know,
well, how would your resolution apply to the Clintons? Think like Bill, do like Hillary, or vice versa? And why not think like Michelle, do like Barack?
Well, just is slightly different. My stepdad made a comment to me, oh, this is such a great resolution, this think globally, act locally. And I responded, yeah, but sort of less obvious than that. I mean, Barack has championed some very local efforts and you know, Jeffrey Canada's work in Harlem Children's Zone comes to mind very quickly. But slightly different than that, I think when I think of Barack and Michelle, I think of process and purpose more than think globally, act globally, locally, or traditional peace. You know, on October 9th, they awarded President Obama with the Nobel Peace Prize for his efforts in diplomacy, promoting democracy and human rights through the tools of dialogue and negotiation. And if I stop and think about that, to me, dialogue means actively talking to one another. And at the other end, negotiation means really actively talking to each other. And a word that he used, enlightened self-interest, which sort of means, you know, I may not get everything that I want, and you may not get everything you want if we work together, but it's greater than us not getting anything at all. I think we've seen some of that in the recent healthcare. I'm just surprised that anything really came out. A lot of people will say, you know, this is a compromise, and I don't really know of many people that would give 5 stars out of 5 stars. But that's what happens when you have a very highly participatory process, that you're not going to get an easy, clean outcome. And I'm learning that more and more every day.
Well, thank you so much for speaking with us, Sarah.
You're welcome.
I just wish I could have an organic garden and look that good.
Yeah. Well, the Obamas were certainly the superstars of the past year. Did their names come up in many of the submissions?
Well, they came up a little bit. And what's so nice about, you know, how can you tell a whole story in six words? That comes up a lot. So this six-word resolution, whether we know exactly how she interpreted those six words for herself, which she just, you know, explained, everyone comes up with their own image. We know who Barack and Michelle are, so we interpret it a certain way. And that makes it both personal and universal.
And some people don't like them. But I wonder about somebody like Ben Bernanke. He was the person of the year, according to Time magazine. Does anybody say I want to balance my checkbook like Ben Bernanke?
Not as often, no.
Bernanke's hard to spell. There's one in the new book. It's an illustration, and it's just this. I aspire to capture his essence. And it's this illustration of a young woman. I believe she's actually a teenager, and she's looking up at Barack Obama as kind of a caricature. So you do see that kind of theme.
Our next winner resolved to model her behavior after someone less famous. Lori, welcome to our show.
Hi, Leonard. Happy New Year.
And same to you. What was your resolution?
My resolution was copy my kid, not my dad.
I'm not sure I understand what you mean by that.
So it's probably true in a lot of ways, but when I wrote it, what I was thinking of was this. My daughter is 10, and over the past year or two, I've been finding I get angry sometimes, out of proportion, you know, to the minor sin she committed. And even worse, I kind of hang on to this anger for a long time. I stay mad at her, which is something my dad did a lot. My daughter, on the other hand, is much better at saying what she's angry about, you know, getting it over with, and also forgiving and forgetting. So I want to emulate her.
So learn from the children.
Yes.
Does she know about your resolution? Does she understand
what
it means?
Yes.
And now that you've discussed it on the radio, do you think she's going to hold you to it?
we have discussed it, in fact, many times when I'm not angry. And, yes, she does try to hold me to it. Thank goodness she does.
Well, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Larry, did you see a lot of resolutions that dealt with family relationships?
We always see a lot of family come in. I will not become my mother. I will become more like my mother. I think those are six words. Rachel's always counting for me.
And also some things that are just about this idea of embracing the youthful and the carefree. One of my favorite resolutions we got was spend thriftily on all but cupcakes.
Well, I remember our conversation about the six-word memoirs, and you said there were teenagers submitting as many as a memoir a day. Did we get a lot of resolutions from teenagers or just parents of 10-year-olds?
A lot of parents. I think a few teenagers as well, but I think that they're not as inclined to think about the future. Well, they get a lot of day-to-day. We get 10 and 20 and 30 a day just about what happened at school today. Thinking about next month would be.
There was one that was very sort of teen-oriented, which I liked, of this moment. Start a blog, start a revolution.
Wow, that's very ambitious. When we spoke in February, Rachel, you said that the most common theme of the six-word memoirs were love and misery, and they often came together. Did that show up in the resolutions?
Definitely. There's one that I really enjoy here, which is, we'll be skinnier than your ex.
Oh, wow.
Here's another one. Kiss my wife, not just yours.
Susie is on the line. That one leaves me speechless for a moment. Susie's on the line. Hi, Susie. What was your submission?
Hi, Lenny. I'm a huge fan, by the way, so thanks for having me on. My resolution this year is make money, find love, keep both.
That's kind of easy to understand. You get right to the point. Did your resolution come to you, or did you have to think about it for a while?
I have to say that it's been on my mind, so it took me about a minute just to try to get it down to six words.
And do you want to get more explicit about make money? Are you not making any money?
No, I'm making some money. I'm a divorced mom with two young boys living in Manhattan, so things are pretty expensive here. And I was staying at home with the kids, so... When I separated from my ex-husband, you know, my life really kind of turned on its end and had to start a new career. And I'm at a point now, 4 years out of that, where you know, I'm sort of chugging along and starting to get good at what I'm doing, and also at a point where I feel like I have the emotional wherewithal to really commit to somebody.
Mm-hmm. And that's why you're going to keep both.
That's right.
The money and love.
I read that six-word memoir, and I thought about how many reams of words have we said to our friends, our parents, our therapists about love, money. Make money, find love, keep both. It says it all.
Thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Some love and dating resolutions are more tongue-in-cheek. Sandy in Manhattan is now on the line, and she actually had two winning submissions. Welcome to our show, Sandy, and what were your two resolutions?
Thanks a lot. Well, I had two that were not meant to be related, but I guess read together, they seem like maybe they are. The first one was find an apartment with a bedroom. And the second one was end my 20-month dry spell.
They sound actually kind of similar to Susie's, only you spell them out a bit more.
Yeah, a little more explicit, I guess.
So find an apartment with a bedroom, which is a very New York, or at least Manhattan-centric resolution. I guess you've been living in studio apartments?
Yeah, I've been living in a studio since 2001, and before that I had shared a two-bedroom with a friend, and the bedroom I had there was just so tiny. It was just room for a bed and a dresser. So living in a studio has been great, but it's like I'm 34 years old. At some point I need to live in a space that doesn't feel like a college dorm room.
Well, you know, that's why people live in some of the other boroughs.
Yeah, I lived in Brooklyn for 7 years, and I wanted, you know, the access of Manhattan, but I'm kind of paying for it now. You know, I can my apartment is so small, I can pretty much lie in bed and scramble my eggs at the same time.
Rachel, why did you choose end my 20-month dry spell? I mean, it's funny, but is finding a good man to date a common issue for single women in New York?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's like a total fallacy that women don't have trouble finding that sort of satisfaction. I think that, you know, people get lonely, people get bored, people have high standards, and we've all been there.
20 months, that's a long time. I'm sorry. but thanks for talking with us, Sandy, and maybe we'll see you at the next WNYC Singles event.
All right. Maybe.
With a bedroom.
or
dare to dream.
I'm not going to pursue that because the FCC has all sorts of rules.
We'll just get into trouble.
Larry, do you think that the fact that it's a new year, even a new decade, makes people reevaluate their romantic goals?
Well, the end of the year, as our many media will remind us, is a time to sort of take stock and make decisions. So, sure, I think we're reevaluating everything, and everything is possible on January 1 that morning, whether you wake up with a hangover or not.
Our next caller, Lisa, has a resolution that seems to be more about being okay with being single than finding love. Lisa, what was your six-word resolution?
My six-word resolution was to learn to eat out alone comfortably.
I had sit comfortably while eating out alone, but it's the same idea. Six words. That's not easy to do. Because often people feel very self-conscious when they're eating alone.
Yes, especially when you're eating out alone in the city, and depending on the time, especially if it's in a Lower East Side before a show, there are tons of people on Ludlow, and everyone's in a group, and there you are alone. It's a sad image, isn't it?
Well, did you select this because it's refreshing to see someone whose goal has to do with being single rather than finding a mate?
Yeah, I think that being comfortable with who you are in your own skin is a really admirable goal. And I think the specificity of that image is really beautiful. It's not just be okay with being single, but it's this picture you can paint in your mind of that moment. And, you know, maybe she's got a book or maybe she's just thinking about something. And I thought it was sort of a sweet image.
Well, do you think it's going to happen?
Definitely. It's a resolution that I'm going to keep.
Lisa was a real enthusiast. I think, Lisa, you submitted 20 or 30 six-word resolutions. And in a sense, I got this whole picture of you as this kind of optimistic, interesting person. Things like read anything Proust has ever written or take off my rose-colored glasses.
Well, you lived in Brooklyn, but now you're in New Jersey. Do you think that affects your life?
Absolutely. And one of the resolutions that I wrote actually, Larry just said, I wrote a few of them, was look for an apartment on Ludlow.
Very specific.
Thank you so much for speaking with us. Our final contest winner has an interesting creative goal for her resolution. Hi, Jessica. Can you tell us your six-word resolution?
Hello. My six-word resolution is make neo-feminist comedy go mainstream.
That's because there are any number of people who have claimed that feminists don't have senses of humor?
Well, I guess a lot of people have said that women don't have sense of humor.
Is it women? There are so many wonderful women in comedy, aren't there?
Right. I feel the same way. Absolutely.
So are you a funny person?
I think that we're all kind of funny in our own ways. I just take those things that I think are funny about myself and put them out there as best I can, you know?
Well, it's unfortunate we don't have time to play a clip on the air, but...
I know. I could even play a six-second song I wrote.
Yeah, you do have songs that you are hoping will make it big in 2010?
I sure do. I play a flying V ukulele, which I also call a V-ukulele because it's shaped like a V.
Uh-huh.
And I also play a emergency whistle, which is the polite way of saying what it actually is. And I write a song on that in the hopes that if I ever have to use it, then perhaps my attacker will dance away.
Well, you got to come up with a six-word song and sing it
first. I do. I have a couple of them, yeah.
Okay, let's go.
And it's actually interesting because I wrote them before this came up. Me and my friend wrote a couple together.
There's that magic of six again.
Yeah.
Let's go.
It's magic. Okay.
Maybe there are some people only...
I'm buying by a watch. There. There you go.
Well, I'm sorry. I talked while you were saying it. Try it again.
Time is flying by a watch.
Nice. Okay. That's a song, I guess.
It
could actually probably could be a commercial for Bulova or something.
It could
like that.
Be. It's like a jingle, and I bet it will be stuck in your head later.
It's sort of a resolution, too.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for talking with us.
Okay. And, hey, if you want to see me live, you can see me at the Bowery Poetry Club on January 13th at 10 p.m.
And will you be funny?
I hope so. I'm going to do my best. It's a variety show with a lot of different performers.
Cool.
You know, when we picked that one, I didn't know about her whole performance variety work. And it's just, you sort of want to know the backstory. That's some of the fun of the six-word resolutions and the memoirs. Just what's going on back there? Now we know about emergency whistles and six-word songs and things.
Well, I think it's probably hard to be really funny in six words. But did you get any laugh out loud submissions?
There's a couple here that made me laugh. Go easy on the Elvis impersonations.
I like that.
Apologize to mom for mustache remark.
Totally organic right after this Whopper.
These are very clever. I it must have been very hard deciding which resolutions to choose and which ones not to.
You know, we wake up every morning and we feature six-word resolutions and memoirs and the other projects. And it's really hard because they're so good and people put themselves out there honestly and openly and they're funny. And so it is very hard. They were fantastic.
And I'm assuming somewhere down the line we're going to get a six-word resolution book. Maybe
sure
for
hope
the year
so.
2011.
Dare to dream.
Meanwhile, we have this one called It All Changed in an Instant with... a lot of six-word memoirs from some pretty famous and less famous submitters, edited by Larry Smith and Rachel Fershleiser, who have been my guests today. And it's been a lot of fun. I hope you've enjoyed as much as I have.
We sure have. Thank you.
And we want to thank everyone who submitted six-word resolution. We had about 300 resolutions. It must have taken you a lot of time reading. Well, actually,
we're pretty quick.
Six-word resolutions.
We have a resolution for this show. Donate more money to public radio.
Oh, that works. That works for me. Thank you again, Rachel Fershleiser, Larry Smith of Smith Magazine. It's been a lot of fun.
Thanks.
Thank you.